Good evening. This coming Shabbos is Parshas Vayeshev. Shabbos Mevorchim Teves, and the Shabbos prior to the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the Shabbos prior to a Yom Tov, or actually anything that follows Shabbos, is blessed by the Shabbos that precedes it, which means all the days that are coming are being blessed by this coming Shabbos, which means the Yom Tov of Chanukah, which begins Sunday night, is being benched by the Parsha of Vayeshev. Parsha of Vayeshev is always read right before Chanukah. Sometimes it's Shabbos Chanukah. So Parsha of Vayeshev, all the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us, is a Parsha that is Chanukah related. Shalom HaKadosh actually begins his essays on the next three parashiyos, Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash, where he says that all these three parashiyos are Chanukah related. And he says the famous line that we quote here all the time, that the parashiyos that we read at a given time have to do with that time. So Parashas Vayeshev is always read right before Chanukah. I once heard from Rav Wolfson Shlita, Shabbos Parashas Vayeshev is begematria 8 times the word neir. Ches pa'amim neir. Neir, 8 neir is Chanukah. Neir is 250. 250 times 8 is 2,000. And that's the gematria of Shabbos Parashas Vayeshev. So Shabbos Parashas Vayeshev prepares us for the 8 days of Chanukah, for the Yom Tov of Chanukah that is rapidly approaching. This parasha is called Vayeshev. Yet the name does not seem to fit this parasha at all. What does Vayeshev mean? Vayeshev doesn't just mean that he sat and he dwelled and he lived. But Vayeshev means peace and tranquility. Chazal Darshan, Rashi brings it at the beginning of the parasha here, that Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva. Yaakov wanted to finally relax with Menuchas HaNefesh and Yishuv Hadas, as we all do, with no stress, no anxiety, finally. And not only does he not get his wish, but as Chazal tell us, his worst tragedy yet is about to unfold. Kofatz Olav Rugzoi Shel Yosef, where for the next 22 years, he has to deal with the anguish and with the unknown, and he cannot be comforted. How could this parasha be called Vayeshev? What kind of peace and tranquility exists in this parasha? In fact, not only is there anguish for Yaakov Avinu, the brothers who see what happens to him, they also are very upset. They also realize, even though they meant L'shem Shemayim, and their war against Yosef, they felt was correct, and they really believed that he was a Rodef, as all the Sfarim speak about it, and he was a rebel against Malchus Beis David, and so on. But when they saw the anguish of their father, so they were also very upset, they had remorse, sort of, knowing how their father's reacting to this. And we read later on with Yosef HaTzadik, who's sold into slavery, and then later accused falsely of a crime which he didn't commit, so he's placed in jail. The entire parasha is a very, very tragic parasha from beginning to end. And yet the entire parasha, every pasuk of the 112 psukim of this week's parasha is called Vayeshev, which Vayeshev means, and he relaxed, peace and tranquility. How can we call this parasha Vayeshev? The name doesn't fit the parasha at all. There's a famous medrash that all the Svarim HaKadoshim quote, so we'll quote it correctly here in this week's parasha. And the medrash says, Vayehibo Eis Ahi, on the Pasuk, Vayehibo Eis Ahi, Vayered Yehuda Me'eis Echov. Yehuda went down. Everyone's going down in this parish. Yosef is going down. The Yosef Hurad Mitzroima, Vayered Yehuda Me'eis Echov. So the Medrash here quotes Rabbi Shmuel Ben Achmeini, who quotes a Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Ki Anoichi Yodati Es HaMachshavos. And this is what the Medrash says. The Shvatim were busy selling Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef was with his sackcloth and his fasting. Reuven is busy with his sackcloth and his fasting, because Reuven was doing tshuva for the chet of moving the bed that we read about last week. Yaakov is busy with his sackcloth and fasting, not knowing the whereabouts of Yosef. Yehuda is busy looking for a wife. And what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu busy with? Says the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hoya oisek boiroi oiroi shel melech HaMoshiach. That's what the Medrash tells us, that this whole parasha what's really hinted, what's really behind the scenes in this entire parasha, is the emergence of Melech HaMashiach, the Oyer of the future, the Oyer of the Geula, which, as we know, the Geula comes from Yehuda, Peretz. Mashiach ben David is a descendant of Peretz. Yala HaPoyretz Lefaneinu, Ish ben Paretzi, which is in this week's parasha, where we learn about the whole story with Yehuda and Tamar, which leads to the birth of Peretz, who from him comes David HaMelech, from him comes Mashiach. And the same thing with Yosef. From him comes Mashiach ben Yosef. There are two Mashiachs, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. So it's all, even though when one reads this parasha on the surface, you don't see any geula at all. In fact, the anguish intensifies in this parasha until it comes to the very end, where Yosef is languishing in prison. He thinks he's getting out. He finally meets up with the Sar HaMashkim, who it looks like, because he interpreted his dream correctly, he's going to remember him, and he's going to remind Paroi that there's someone in jail who doesn't belong there, and even that doesn't happen. And as the parasha ends off, "V'lo zochar Sar HaMashkim es Yosef ayishkachehu." Yet, what's happening behind the scenes? HaKadosh Baruch Hu oisek u'boirei oirei shel Melech HaMashiach. What does this medrash mean? What exactly is happening here? The Yom Tov of Chanukah is approaching. The Shaloh HaKadosh, the Megala Amukos, and all the Svarim that talk about, they talk about the Soid of what's going on. And they tell us that Yosef HaTzadik represents the Yom Tov of Chanukah. We know that what it says in the Zohar and it says it in the Tur actually says it at the beginning of Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, that the three Yomim Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, are represented by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Pesach is Avraham Avinu. Most of Avraham's life happens Nisan, Pesach time, it's all Pesach. Yitzchak is Shavuos, or Shavuos Eli Yitzchak. And Yaakov, as we read last week, the Yaakov Nosasu Kaisa. So Avraham is Pesach, Yitzchak is Shavuos, Yaakov is Sukkos. Yosef HaTzadik is the extension of Yaakov. As we read at the beginning of the parasha, Eile Toildais Yaakov Yosef. Now Yaakov has 12 children, yet the Torah refers to Yosef as his prime, as his main child. That's one of the reasons why there is so much animosity and jealousy, because of the special affection that Yaakov has for Yosef. And the Pasuk tells us, V'hu nar es b'nei Vilha v'es b'nei Zilpa n'shei Aviv. This is one of those few psukim in Chumash that are very, very, very difficult to understand. I'll be pshat even. The Rashbam says he actually debated his grandfather Rashi how to learn pshat in this pasuk. He disagreed with the way Rashi learns pshat in this pasuk. Eila told us Yaakov Yosef, or Yosef ben Shva Esrei Shana, Hayaroya, he was a shepherd, as Echov Batsoin, with his brothers, with the sheep, Vehu Nar, when he's a youth, Espene Villa, with the children of Villa, the wives of his father. But the whole pasuk doesn't seem to fit. There's a lot of difficulty with this pasuk, and Rashi tackles it one way, the Rashbam a different way. But here we see in this pasuk, as Rashi quotes the Medrash, whatever happened to Yaakov happens to Yosef. Yosef is like Yaakov's twin. Whatever episodes Yaakov endures, Yosef goes through the same situation. Yaakov is hated by his brother. Yosef is hated by his brothers. Yaakov leaves his home. Yosef has to leave his home. The Medrash gives many, many other connections between the two. Esav wants to kill him. They want to kill him, and so on. So Yosef is the extension of Yaakov. Yosef looked like Yaakov. The next pasuk tells us, the Yisrael ohav es Yosef mikol bonov, ki ven zikunim huloi. Yaakov loves Yosef from all his other children, because he was born to him in old age. Perhaps regular normal people, that makes sense. But Yaakov Avinu, you would think, would be on a higher level, that he doesn't love him because he happened to be born later on, more than the other brothers. That's why Chazal give various interpretations, and Rashi gives more than one interpretation what this means. And one of them is that he looked like him. Well, that doesn't really answer the question. So which parent loves a child more because that child happens to look like him? It's inevitable that One child will look more like the father, one like the mother, one will be a combination. So what, the mother only likes those who look like her, the father only likes those who look like him, and they only like together those that look like both of them. Ki ben zakunim huloi, because he looked like him. And Rashi also tells us ben zakunim means, as Unkel says, bar chakim huloi. He transmitted to him everything that he learned from the Beis Medrash of Shem and Aver. So Yosef was a scholar, and Yaakov is transmitting to him all the Torah that he learned when he was in the Beis Medrash of Shem and Aver. And of course, the question that Mefarshim asked, and with the other children he didn't learn. He only learned with Yosef. Yisachar wasn't the Talmud Chacham. Yehuda wasn't the Talmud Chacham. They were all Talmud Chachamim. So only Yosef gets this special privilege. The Baal HaTurim says, Zekunim is Rosh HaTevis. Zroyim Kotshim Noshim Yeshua Ismoyed. From the six orders of the Mishnayos, you have five of them here, hinted in the word Zekunim. Zion is Zroyim, Kuf is Kotshim, Nun is Noshim, Yud is Yeshua, which the Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, Yeshua is Nezikin, and the Mem is Moyed. So the Chassam Sofer asks, and all the Zerah Shimshon, and many of the other Svarim that talk about this, what about the sixth order of Mishnayos? There's a sixth. There are six Sidrei Mishnah, Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. There's only five mentioned here. So Sam Seifer says, apparently, he never got to learn with him the sixth order of Mishnayos because he was sold. Yosef is 17 years old. It could be that's what they were up to. They just made a siyum on Kodshim. They're about to start Tyros. Yosef is sold into slavery, so he never gets to learn Tyros with his father. Others say differently. Other Svarim that talk about this say that Yosef was not supposed to learn Taharos with Yaakov. Yosef develops that on his own. Taharos is the order of Mishnayos that speaks about purity. And Yosef is Taharos. He is purity. And his challenge and his trials and tribulations that he has to go through here is to remain Tohar, which he does. So he develops Taharos on his own. That's who he is. In fact, the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us that the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah Keneged Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Moshe Aaron Yosef. That would mean that Zroyim is Avraham Avinu, Moyed is Yitzchak, and Taharos is Yosef. He is the sixth. In the order of the Royim, he's the sixth Midah, the Midah of Yosef. Chesed Gevurah Tiferes Netzach Hod Yosef, that's Yosef. So he is Taharos. So he developed Taharos. He became Taharos on his own. Yaakov didn't transmit it to him. That was something which he had to develop. The Baal HaTurim even goes further and says that Zekunim, he says, is Begematria Roz, which means secret, that Yaakov taught him the secrets of Torah. Clearly, Yaakov transmits to Yosef what he does not transmit to the other brothers. And the fact that Yaakov looks like Yosef doesn't just mean that his facial features are the same. It means that they are one and the same. It means that they are really one. Ela told us Yaakov Yosef. And in a certain way, Yosef possesses more Kedusha and Tahara than all the others did, all the brothers did. And in fact, at the end, they recognize who he is. At the beginning, Vayiru Oisai Meirachok, they see him from afar. They don't realize his holiness, his greatness, his purity. And then later, when he reveals himself to them, in Parshas Vayigash, then they realize who he is. So, to put everything together, the obvious question, what's the dispute between Yosef and the brothers? And for us to really talk about that is really not proper because we're not on the Madrega to understand what their dispute was about. This was not sibling rivalry. This was not just a bunch of jealous brothers who were jealous of the fact that Yaakov made him a coat, which they didn't have. Even though it would seem from the psukim that that's what's going on here, there's a lot more than what meets the eye. And as the Megala Amukas discusses, really based on a Medrash, that they saw Beruach HaKodesh, Yerovam ben Nevat, coming out of Yosef HaTzadik. Now, if this was just a simple machlokes and hatred and jealousy, they would not be having Ruach HaKodesh at that time. And the fact that they're having Ruach HaKodesh tells us that this was a machlokes l'shem shamayim. They saw, Vayiru Oisei Meirochoik, says the Megala Amukas, they looked into the distant. They saw in the distant future that from him is going to come someone who's going to be a chayte umachti as harabim. He's going to be a sinner who's going to make others sin. And they figured, let's get rid of him now already. The ata lechu v'nahargehu. Now, even though maybe he doesn't deserve it, let's kill him now so that this won't happen in the future. That's one interpretation. However, what they fail to see, as the Gemara tells us in Mayit Katan, in the Megala Amukus, Zerah Shimshon quote this, Yerovam had a son who was buried despite that Yerovam was cursed, that his entire family will not even be zeiche, but privileged to regular burial. Their bodies will be laid strewn on the streets, eaten by dogs, as the Psukim and Malachim tell us. Avia, the son of Yerovam, was privileged to a normal burial. And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk concerning Avia, Ya'an nimtza boy dover toiv. There was something good about him. What was that good thing that he did? So the Gemara says here, the dover toiv was that despite that his father did not allow anyone to go to Yerushalayim, and he set up idols and he set up guards to prevent Aliyah L'Regel, Avia disobeyed, and Avia went to Yerushalayim anyway. He didn't listen. In that respect, he didn't listen to his father. And not only that, according to one opinion, he actually was mevatel the guards that Yerovam set up to allow others to go to Eretz, to go to Yerushalayim, even though the Gemara in Tainus says it was Hoshea ben Ela who did that. So according to this Gemara here in Mayat Katan, Chav Ches Amid Beis, it would seem that Avia started, or Avia was the one who did it. And therefore Avia dies a normal death, and he's buried, and there's a tombstone for him. His body wasn't strewn like the other family members. Says the Megala Amukus, it goes deeper than that. The Megala Amukus says that Mashiach ben Yosef is a descendant of Avia, of the son of Yerovam. So that means Yerovam ben Avot, although the Gemara says, the Mishnah says that he has no Olam Haba, and he's a chayte u'machti esarabim. And concerning a chayte u'machti esarabim, ein maspikin b'yolei lasis tshuva. But there is a nitzitz, there's a good spark that comes out of him too. His son, Avia, from his son comes Mashiach ben Yosef, who is going to be a very important figure in the messianic process. And that's why he says, the Megala Amukah says, the Aviv shomar es hadavar, dover. It says, Aviv shomar es hadavar, because in Melachim, when it talks about Avia, the Pasuk uses the word dover. The Pasuk says, Ya'an nimtza boy dover toiv, the Aviv shomar es hadavar, they saw in the dream of Yosef that Yosef wants to rule. From him comes Yerovam ben Nevat, who's going to rule. So that's why they want to kill him. They want to stop it already now. But the Aviv shomar es hadavar, Yaakov sees the dover toiv in Avia, the son of Yerovam, there's a nitzutz toiv, and therefore Yosef should not be killed. If Chas v'Shalom, we kill Yosef, there's no Mashiach. But Yosef, this is discussed at length in the Sforum of the Kadmainim and the Mekubalim. We're not going into that right now. Not that we really understand all of it. But just to get a little picture of what is the dispute here, just to try to show, this was not just sibling rivalry. There's a lot going on here. The Sfasemes says that Yosef was a hidden tzaddik, meaning throughout the ages, there were two schools of thought among tzaddikim. There were those tzaddikim that showed off, meaning not showed off in a negative way, but that when you looked at them, you saw how they daven with tremendous kavanah and the learning and all the tzedak. Everything was done in public, and that's how one would assume that it should be. But there were many tzaddikim that were not like that. There were many tzaddikim that kept it all hidden. And when you looked at them, you couldn't tell if they were anything special. They looked like ordinary people. One of them was the famous Rabbi Yisrael of Ruzhin, the Holy Ruzhin. Everyone calls him the Holy Ruzhin. Although they say, when you looked at him, you didn't see anything. You never saw him learning. He davened like anyone else. But he had tremendous kedusha. He himself said that the holier one is, the more he's capable of hiding it. He says, that's hinted in the davening when we say, Befi yeshorim tisroimem, uvesifsei tzadikim tisborech, uvelashoin chasidim tiskadash, uvekerev kedoshim tishalal. So he says, Befi, when it's on the mouth, so, such a tzaddik is called a yoshur, b'fi yeshorim. Loshain, b'fi yeshorim, is sifsei, when it's sfasayim, it's tzaddikim. But ubekerev, kerev, when it's inside, you don't see it, it's all kept inside, that's kedusha, that's the holiest. The holiest are those tzaddikim that are able to keep it in. When they do their mitzvahs, when they daven, when they learn, you can't see, you can't tell. But in private, they do. But in public, they act like everyone else. They don't want to come to any geyus and pnius. They do everything in a very, very mode of tznius and in a mode of seiser. Yosef was of such a caliber. In fact, the Unkelus actually says it the way many learn Pshat. The Unkelus in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov benches Yosef, so there it says, Vateshev be'eson kashtoy vayafoizu zeroya yodov, says Unkelus. He was a Novi al dekayem oiraisa besisra. He kept the Torah in a hidden way. Literally, you could say what he means to say is that he kept the Torah in a hidden way because he didn't want anyone to know that he was Jewish. After all, he's the viceroy of Egypt. He couldn't let everyone know who he was, so he kept the Torah in mitzvahs, like many Jews had to do throughout the ages in private. But the way the Sfasemis learns, that's what kind of tzaddik he was. He was a hidden tzaddik. The Shvatim had a totally different way of serving Hashem. They held Yehuda specifically, Vayigba Liba Bidarki Hashem. You can't hide this. Everyone has to see. It's very important for children to see the parents learning and davening. You can't hide it. It's dangerous if you do that. There are different drachim, how to serve Hashem. And many of the Sfarim say that that's what the machloikus was. How do we serve Hashem? Yosef was a hidden tzaddik. And in fact, not only was he a hidden tzaddik, but it looked like he wasn't a tzaddik at all. Rashi says, v'hu nar, what was he doing? He was busy combing his hair. He did what seemed to be foolish things. Looking in the mirror. What was he, a girl? He was acting girlish. In fact, the Paradis Yosef says, because he was supposed to be Dina. So he had girlish tendencies. And Dina was supposed to be Yosef. So about Teitse Dina, she had masculine tendencies. This is what I'm actually saying. This. But the way the Sfasemis and others learn is this was just to fool everyone. It looked like v'hu nar, because he was a hidden tzaddik, so he hid his tzitkus, and he acted regular, not even regular, he acted like as if he was foolish, so no one really knew that he was such a great tzaddik. But really, he was much greater than they were. The more hidden the tzaddik, the greater the tzaddik is. In fact, he's the only one we call tzaddik. Yosef had tzaddik. We don't say Reuven had tzaddik. Even though Reuven wasn't tzaddik, they were all. But Yosef is the one who has the title tzaddik. Yosef, we find, is never upset. He's never sad. He's always happy. And he takes everything in stride. Not only that, he has such emunah and betochen that even in the worst situation, he's mekabel everything ba'ahava, and he's extremely happy. In fact, the Medrash also in this week's parasha says that Yosef was always dancing. The Medrash says he was always jumping up and down and dancing. The word matzliach, which means successful. So the Medrash translates matzliach over here as kofitz, lashon solach, which means to jump. He would jump up and down from joy. Always happy in every situation. The biggest proof is when we come to the end of the parasha. And he's in jail with the Sarah Mashkim and the Sarah Oifim, and they both have a dream, and they're very nervous. They don't know what the interpretation is. And they wake up, and they look very depressed. And the Pasuk says he sees that they're depressed. So one would assume that when you're in a dungeon, and those jails were not like today, and they certainly didn't have a television and a place to play and good food. They were in the dark as long as they were there. Yosef was in the dark for 12 years. It was underground, and I'm sure the conditions there were not very sanitary. It wasn't a place that would make anyone happy. And yet Yosef, when he sees them upset, he asks them, he says, Madua penechem ro'im hayoim? Why do you have sour faces? What kind of question is that? What should they do? Dance? So the answer is, yeah, because Yosef was always happy. He's always dancing. He sees everything in a different light. He has such a emunah and betochen. He believes that everything is from Hashem. He's constantly in a state of peace and tranquility. Always. He has no questions. Accepts everything with emunah. And every day he expects to get out. And eventually he gets out. You don't find once in the parasha any mention of the fact that he's sad, upset, crying. Not at all. Yosef is on a very, very high level. A level of tremendous emunah and betochen. Svarim HaKadoshim tell us that Vayeshev is Rosh HaTevis, V'yiftechu v'cho yoydei shemecha. Pasuk in Tehillim about Betochen. Someone who has betachin is always in a state of peace and tranquility. By him, it's vayeshev all the time, which vayeshev, as mentioned before, is peace and tranquility. The main character of this parasha is really Yosef. It starts vayeshev Yaakov, but the story in the parasha is about Yosef. The dreams, the interaction between him and the brothers, his being thrown into a pit, then being sold into slavery and sold numerous times. And eventually he comes down to Mitzrayim. And then he's sold to Potiphar, who didn't buy him for a good reason. And then he's accused by the wife of Potiphar of wanting to commit adultery. Really, it was she, but of course he was the one accused. And people believed it at the beginning at least. And he's put into jail, and everyone's talking bad about him. And he's in jail for 10 years at least, until finally the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOifim join him there. And he thinks he's getting out. Then again, he's there for another 2 years. And the last Rashi of the parasha tells us an amazing thing. The last Rashi tells us, "V'loy zocha sar hamashkim es Yosef ayishkochehu." He didn't remember him and he forgot him. So Rashi says, another 2 years he had to stay in jail because Yosef put his trust in the sar hamashkim. And the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Ashrei hagever asher som Hashem miftachoi v'loy pana el rehovim." Fortunate is the man who puts his trust in Hashem and not doesn't turn to nobles. And the Mitzrayim are called as Rahav is Mitzrayim. On the one hand, we're saying that Yosef had tremendous betachim, such betachim that we never find once that he complained. And he's always happy. And the Medrash says he's jumping around for joy. And he doesn't understand why they're unhappy. So he's punished that he has to stay another 2 years because he does a little ishtadlus. Because the Sar HaMashkim, after he interprets the dream, all he says to him is, "You're going to get out. Just do me a favor. When you get out, could you tell Paroi that I'm here for no reason? I was accused falsely. I served my time. I'm here 10 years already. For that, he has to stay another 2 years?" That just tells us what level of betachin Yosef HaTzadik was. It's all the Svarim tell us. Chaim Salavavis talks about this by Arichas. The more betachin and emunah you have, the less hishtadlus you need. And a person who's a total Baal Betochen Be'emes needs no Hishtadlus whatsoever because everything is from Hashem. So that itself was that Hishtadlus that Yosef, the trust that he put into the Sar HaMashkim, which for us, that would be normal Hishtadlus. We would do more than that. Because we're not that on that level of Betochen. But for him, Vayeshev, V'yiftuchu V'chayoyda Eishemecha, that was considered a pegam that Yosef even says to the Sar HaMashkim, "Please remember me." He didn't have to say it. It would have happened automatically. You know, if Yosef wouldn't have done that, the Sar HaMashkim would have remembered him. The Sar HaMashkim would have got out and would have gone to Paroi and said, "By the way, it's amazing because I never really dreamt that I'd ever get out of jail." As the Malbim explains, really, it should have been the other way around. The Sar HaMashkim really should have been the one hung. The Sar HaOifim should not have been hung. The whole thing was really Ruach HaKodesh. Who's the Sar HaMashkim? The Sar HaMashkim is not the one who actually is the one squeezing the grapes. The Sar HaMashkim is the one who's bringing the wine before Paroi. So he should have seen the fly in the wine. There's no excuse. He should have seen it. Who's the Sar HaOifim? Not the one who actually baked the bread. He's the one who's bringing the bread. The pasuk says at the beginning here, Chotu Mashke Mitzrayim Melech Mitzrayim VeHaOifim. The Mashke was the one who actually is squeezing the grapes, making the drink. The Oifa is the one who's actually baking the bread. The Sar HaMashkim is the one who's serving. He's the waiter, the chamberlain. He's the one who's waitering. He's not the one who actually made it. The Sar HaOifim is not the one who actually baked the bread either. So if you think about it, the Sar HaOifim should get away with it, because how's he supposed to know there's a pebble on the bread? The one who baked the bread in the kitchen should know that. He should be the one hung, not the Sar HaOifim. The whole thing was really Ruach HaKodesh. It was based on Yosef's interpretation, which we're forced to discuss extensively here, which we're not going into right now. Point is that Yosef didn't have to say a word. The Sar HaMashkim would have gone out, and he would have just said to Paroi, "By the way, there's someone there who interpreted this dream in a way that who would have believed that I'd be the one getting out?" "Well, who is that person?" "Well, his name is Yosef." "Well, what's he doing?" Then they would have taken him out of jail. But because he put his trust somewhat in the Sar HaMashkim, so Yosef has to stay another 2 years. But all that time, there's no complaints. Even then, even after he asks the Sar HaMashkim to remember him, and 2 years pass, and nothing happened. And in any normal situation, a person would have totally given up. If after that, he still doesn't get out of jail, it looks like he's going to be there forever. And then, Vayimi Ketz Nasayim Yomim, next week's parasha, Vayiritzuhu Min Abor, and so on. So Yosef symbolizes someone who is totally connected every minute of the day to Hashem. When we say that Yosef represents Taharos. Taharos is the sixth order of Mishnayos, which he had to learn on his own. That Yaakov does not transmit to him. Because as we see in the word Zekunim, only five orders of the Mishnayos are mentioned. So the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that Taharos is referred to as Da'as. V'hoye emunas itecha choysen yeshuois chochmas v'da'as. Da'as zes seder Taharos. Knowledge, das means knowledge. Knowledge is the order of Mishnayos that deals with purity. What does knowledge have to do with purity? Das has another meaning too. The ha'adam yoda, intimacy, is called das. Das means connection. Das is taharis. Someone who's totally connected is pure. Yosef HaTzadik was totally connected to the point that no matter what situation he was in, he was always happy. No complaints. Total betachim. In every wherever he finds himself. The Yosef Hoya b'Mitzrayim, as Rashi tells us in Parashat Shemais, that no matter where he was always Yosef. He's unwavering, unscathed, something you don't find by anyone else. Yaakov Avinu does not go through the trials and tribulations of Yosef HaTzadik. None of the other Shvatim went through the trials and tribulations of Yosef HaTzadik. None of them had to deal with what he had to deal with. And he comes out pure. He represents Taharos. He represents Da'as. Da'as meaning the Ha'adam Yoda. Da'as meaning connection. Totally connected. It's kashrus, complete connection to Hashem, which when someone is totally connected, there's nothing to worry about. There's peace and tranquility all the time. And that's why this entire parasha is called Vayeshev. Every detail of the parasha is Vayeshev. Because in every part of this, in every story that Yosef had to deal with in this week's parasha, he was always in a state of peace and tranquility. And it's a tremendous lesson for all of us, because we all go through tremendous, maybe some more than others, but everyone goes through stress and anxiety in life. It has to be. That's how it is. There are ups and downs, stress, anxiety, difficulties. The more emunah and betachon one has, the easier it is, because you'll be able to get through it much easier, and that itself brings the Yeshua, as all the Svarim tell us. The betachon and the emunah itself is what brings the Yeshua. They bring down from Reb Chatzkala of Kuzmir. He was the first Majid Sereb. All the Majid Serebs come from Reb Chatzkala of Kuzmir. So he touched the pasuk last week's parasha. Ata amarta heitev, eitev. When a person says about every situation that they're in, it's good. Ata amarta heitev, eitev. I'll make it better. Meaning, when a person is always complaining and saying, "Oh, it's so terrible," then Chas v'Shalom Hashem could say, "You think this is terrible? I'll show you what terrible is." But when a person says, "It's good. It must be good. Okay, Hashem said good. I'll show you. I'll make it better for you." The more we recognize the good in everything, the more we, even if we don't see it, we don't feel it necessarily, but we believe it, we talk about it, we know it has to be good, eventually it'll be good, then it will be good. The Ato Amarta Heitev, Eitev. Yosef HaTzadik is the example of such devotion, of such Avodah, of a person that finds it, everything good. And therefore, Yosef HaTzadik represents the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Yosef comes from the word hoisofa, which means to add. A Jew has to constantly add every single day in serving Hashem. Status quo doesn't work. There's no such thing as staying the same. Because if you're not going to go up, then chas v'shalom, we go down. It's like climbing a steep mountain. Either you go up or you go down. There's nothing in the middle. Every day has to be new. Every day has to be different. We say, Vayas Kein Aaron, that's the last pasuk that we read, the last psukim that we read on the last day of Chanukah, that Aaron lit the menorah, Vayas Kein Aaron, Lahagit Shvachay Shal Aaron Shaloshina, Rashi says, to teach us the praise of Aaron that he didn't change. What do you mean he didn't change? He didn't change what Hashem told him to do? Of course not. Why would he? So many learn, Shina comes from the word, Al-Hishonais HaChal, repetition, over again. Words, by Aaron, it wasn't just repetition. What I did yesterday, I did today. Every day was new. Every day he served Hashem on a higher level than before. Yosef was on such a level. Yosef is Miloshen Hoysofa, to add every single day. In fact, I just saw from one of the Belzer Rebbes who said, Vayihi kedabera el Yosef yoim yoim. The Yetzahara tries to get a person to serve Hashem yoim yoim, every day the same. Every day. What did yesterday do today? But Yosef didn't listen. Yosef every day went higher and higher, so Eshes Paitifa was not able to get him. Because every day he was on a higher level. It wasn't yayim yayim. The Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Kufhei, the Yetzer Hara says, Hayoim Oimeloi Kach, Asay Kach, Ulamachar Asay Kach. Everyone learns that. It means the Yetzer Hara tells you today to do one thing, tomorrow he tells you to do something else, eventually he's going to tell you to do Avodah Zarah. So the way the Belzer Rebbe explained it, Hayoim he tells you to do this, tomorrow he tells you to do this, meaning do the same thing tomorrow like you did today. That itself leads to sin. That leads to chet, because eventually it's going to cause a person, as the Gemara says, to worship Avodah Zarah. It can never be the same. We always have to be going higher and higher. Because if you don't go higher and higher, then you lose, then you fall. In fact, that's what the Yevanim, the Greeks, Assyrian Greeks, that the villain of this time now, were trying to instill in Klal Yisrael, as all the Svarim say, they didn't want them to give up religion completely. They didn't say, don't learn. As if there's Kedusha in the Torah. It's like another subject. Study Greek philosophy, and you could study Talmud, and then you study some math and some this, like another subject. So we say in the Alanisim, Kishe Omda Malchus Yavon Harishal Amchi Yisrael. Omda, Oimeid, is someone who just stands on one level the whole time. A Malach is called an Oimeid, because a Malach doesn't go higher and higher. A Malach is the same its entire existence. A person is called a Mahalech, a person has to go higher and higher. What the Yevonim were trying to instill in Klal Yisrael is that they should be oimdim. Every day the same. What's this need of going higher and higher? Similar to the Eishes Paitif, Ayike Dabra Eilov, Yoim Yoim. So Rabbi Shalom of Bel says, that's why it says, Vayihi Kehayoim Hazeh. Kehayoim Hazeh, when she thought, Kehayoim Hazeh, like this, I've already seen him do this. Now, she saw that every day he was going higher and higher. So she can't get him. But one day, Kehayoim Hazeh, she saw that perhaps today, I think I saw last week he was doing this, what he did today. Oh, you see, he's not going higher today. This is the day I'm going to get him. And she almost did. Vayihi Kehayoim Hazeh. She almost got him. The Divrei Shlomo, he says, that's the last pasuk in the parasha. V'loi Zochar Sar HaMashkim Es Yosei Fayishkachehu. The Sar HaMashkim represents a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham is called the Sar HaMashkim. Why? Because Torah is compared to liquids. We find throughout Tanakh, it's compared to water, wine, oil, honey, milk. Torah is compared to many, many different liquids. Sar, so therefore, a person who is a Talmud Chacham is a Sar HaMashkim. So I saw from the Divrei Shlomo, from the Baba, he says, V'loi Zochar Sar HaMashkim Es Yosef. If a Talmud Chacham doesn't remember Yosef to be Moisef, to go higher and higher every day, Vayishkachehu, he's going to end up forgetting his learning. He's going to end up forgetting what it means to be an Erlich Yid. A Jew has to go higher and higher every single day. And the Yevanim tried to instill in Klal Yisrael to be stagnant, status quo. That's why, what's Chanukah all about? Every day you have to add. Chanukah is every day you add a candle. Moisef v'hoylich, the first night one, and then two, and then three. Chanukah represents this concept of hoysofa, of constantly growing more and more, like Yosef HaTzadik, who in every predicament, in every situation, every single day of his life, was growing and getting greater and greater until he reached the highest level of Taharos. And therefore, Yosef represents the Yomtiv of Chanukah, and Chanukah is Yosef. Where do we light the menorah, as mentioned already in the last few weeks? On the left, below 10 tfachim, outside, when it's night. This all represents difficult situations, difficult times. When a person finds himself on the left, a person finds himself so, he feels so low, he's on the floor. He's below 10 tfach. More like Yosef, he's more than on the floor, he's underground. Alive, but he's underground. Or outside, not where we're supposed to be, in the Rosh Hashanah, and it's night, and there's concealment, but yet there's light. The Ner Chanukah, which is the Yom Tov of light, illuminates everywhere, that whatever situation, whether you're on the left or on the floor or outside or it's concealment or the moon is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and not only that, but one of the days of Chanukah, as mentioned, the moon is in total concealment, we light another candle, more light. The darkness doesn't affect us. The darker it gets, the brighter the Chanukah lights. As the Svarim tell us, that every year Chanukah gets stronger and stronger, unlike the biblical holidays, because today we don't have the karbonis that we bring with those yamim tovim, so we're like distant. We miss the Beis Hamikdash. We can't bring karbonis anymore. But now when it comes to Chanukah, Chanukah is different. The darker it gets, the brighter the Chanukah, because Chanukah is light, and the darker it is, the more you feel the light. So this year, Tav Shanayin Tes will be the brightest and greatest Chanukah ever in history, because the darkness is so great. the chayshech kafal mechupal of ikvus of the Mashiach, the darkness of the generation that we live in, a generation that's kulay left and outside and on the floor, and such concealment. So certainly the Ner Chanukah of our time, of this year, is going to be the brightest Ner Chanukah that ever existed, the greatest Chanukah. So while all these tragedies are happening in the parasha, and everyone is busy with something else, whether it's Yaakov with his sackcloth, and Reuven with his sackcloth, and Yosef with his, and the brothers with theirs, and Yehuda's looking for a shidduch, and he loses a wife, and he loses two children, Erva Einan, and one difficulty after another. What is happening, though? What is Hashem busy, says the Medrash? Hashem is creating Oyrei Shel Melech HaMashiach. It's interesting, the Medrash uses the words, the light of Melech HaMashiach. Because as the Bnei Yisrael quotes from the Rekeach, that's what Chanukah is. Chanukah is Oyrei Shel Melech HaMashiach. It is the light of the future that we experience before it happened. B'chinas Or Chayzer. It's like the future comes back. Back to the future. The future, which they, the Oyrei Shel Melech HaMashiach, which didn't happen yet, we experience on the, during the 8 days of Chanukah. Everything that's happening here is really all one long Chanukah story. What's interesting too is this parasha is where the Golus starts and the Geula at the same time. The Golus begins here with Yosef and the brothers, leading to Yosef being sold to Mitzrayim, which eventually leads to Yaakov going down with his children, with the 70 Nefoshes, which causes Golus Mitzrayim, which is the root of all the Goliyos, Mitzrayim, Milosh, and Meitzar. But what else is happening in this parasha? Yehuda goes down. Yosef goes down, and Yehuda goes down, meets Tamar, from that comes Peretz, from him comes Dovid HaMelech, comes Mashiach, and in such a way that it's very concealed, because who would believe that from such an act between him and Tamar, where Tamar looks like a Zayna, and who would think that that's, from this comes the holiest Neshama on earth, from this comes the ultimate redemption. In the midst of such concealment, that's where the light is, the hidden light is there. Interesting that the Pasuk that we quoted before from the Gemara and Mayat Cotton quotes the Pasuk by Avia, the son of Yeravam, who we would probably consider the worst Jew, the lowest Jew, the Chayte Umachti Asarabim, who the Mishnah says that there's no tshuva for him. The Pasuk over there uses a similar expression like by Chanukah. The Pasuk says, Ya'an nimtza boi dovar toiv. In him, in Avia, son of Yeravam, is found something good. There's something good in every Jew. Every year it has in him a nitzitz toy. The nitzitz hayahadus, the pach shemen, the jug of oil that was found buried under the ground of the Beis HaMikdash, was pure. It was not touched. The Yom Tov of Chanukah is the Yom Tov of purity. Taharois. Taharois is begamatria Chanukah with the milui of the oisiyos. That's Yosef. Chanukah brings purity, like Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we end off the last Mishnah in Yuma, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, Lefnei mi atem mitaharem eschem, mi mitahar eschem, Mikveh Yisrael, Hashem is the mikveh of the Jewish people. Hashem purifies the Jewish people. And that happens on Yom Kippur. And being that Chanukah is the hemshech, the extension of Yom Kippur, Chanukah, as we mentioned last week, what the Ari HaKadosh says, that it's the Gemar Chasima Toiva, that means it's the completion of the Chasima of Yom HaKippurim. So just like Rabbi Akiva said concerning Yom Kippur, Ashreichem Yisrael, Mi mitaher eschem, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, it has to be that Chanukah has the same bechina and even greater, because Chanukah can purify neshamas that Yom Kippur cannot. Ashreichem Yisrael is begematria Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen. Mikveh is begematria Chofhei Kislev. Chof Hei Kislev is the mikveh. That's the day. That day, which starts this coming Sunday night, brings purity to Am Yisrael on the highest level, that the lowest Jew, even a son of Yeravam ben Nevat, a person who finds himself in the wrong place on the wrong time, can experience a Yeshua, can experience Tahara, and be zeichet to the name Yisrael. As mentioned last week, the Amcha Yisrael, Asisa Teshua Gedoylo Furkan, Kehayoyim Hazeh. This is the Yom Tov of purity. The Hashmonaim came in and purified the entire Beis HaMikdash. Pinu Esheich Olecha V'tiharu Es Mikdashecha. Because what was the goal of the Yevonim? To contaminate. They wanted to contaminate. Timu Hashmanim. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to bring Tumah, impurity, into the holiest of all places. Chanukah brings purity into those places that are impure. Chanukah is ma'oirer. It awakens the tahara that exists, sometimes very deep, that exists in each and every soul, no matter who it is. Yosef was mekarev all Jews. One of the machloikos between Yosef and the brothers was about this very topic, a topic that we even hear recent, that we even hear in our time. What are the status of some Jews that perhaps some think are maybe not part of Klal Yisrael, Rachmana Litzlan? Yosef, it says, was mekarev the Bnei Vilha and the Bnei Zilpa. This is a Rashi in this week's parasha based on Midrashim. And that was one of the major disputes between Yosef and the brothers. How do we treat the children of Bila and Zilpa? The brothers call them avodim, they call them slaves, because they've considered them as bnei hashfachos. They are children of maids. That means Bila and Zilpa do not have the status of wives. That's how they felt. But Yosef was makar of them. Yosef says that's not true. They're part of Am Yisrael as well. That's the pshat in the pasuk. Behu na'ar es bnei vilha ve'es bnei zilpa. As Rashi says, what did Yosef do? They were mevaza them, and Yosef was mekar of them. Lefisha hoyo echov mevazanoisan, vehu mekarvan. That means Yosef is the mekarev, because Yosef is Chanukah. Chanukah is the tikkun for all neshamas, no matter where they are. Even the Bnei Hashvachos. Bnei Hashvachos is begematria Matis Yohu. That means the Yom Tov of Chanukah, which comes through Matis Yohu, is the tikkun for the Bnei Hashvachos. And from all the Shvatim, the lowest is Don. Rashi brings this in Parshas Vayakhel. Don was from the lowest of the Shvatim. Teves, the month that's now coming, this Shabbos connects Kislev to Teves, is the month of Don. Teves, therefore, is the lowest, one of the lowest months. That's why it has the longest nights. Chazal referred to Teves as the Lele Teves Ho'aruchim. They had to put enough oil in the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash to last, even in the long nights of Teves, December, January, this time of year, the longest nights, indicating tremendous concealment, the longest nights. Asara B'Teves, Nittel, the Torah being translated into Greek, all the tsaras that took place in the month of Teves, right after Chanukah. Chanukah is the yantiv that illuminates Teves, because it enters Teves. The only yantiv that connects 2 months, Kislev, Teves, is Chanukah. There's no yantiv that connects 2 months. Every yantiv that we have is in 1 month. 1 day, a week, 8 days, 2 days, whatever it is, but that's not in 2 different months. The only yomtiv that connects Kis, in this case, Kislev to Teves, B'ha'aloyscha. B'ha'aloyscha means when you light candles. B'ha'aloyscha is B'gamatria, Kislev Teves. The yomtiv that connects 2 months is Chanukah, and it's deeper than just connecting 2 months. It connects Kislev, which is the Rishus HaYochid, with Teves, which is the Rishus HaRabim. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that Teves is from the months that belonged to Esav. In fact, Esav was killed, as the B'nai Soska says, he was killed on Chanukah. Yaakov was buried on Chanukah, so Esav, that means, was killed on Chanukah. And the cheshbon he makes is that he was killed Rosh Chodesh Teves, which was the day that Avram Avinu passed away. Tikover b'seva toiver, Rosh Teves Teves. That means Avram passes away on Chanukah, according to this Medrash. And that's the day that Esav went off to Derech, and that's the day that Esav is killed, because Chanukah is the Yom Tov where we celebrate the downfall of all the evildoers, where Esav is killed on Chanukah, and Esav's month is Teves, so he's killed in Teves. So Teves is the month of Esav. So Chanukah enters the domain of Esav, as mentioned last week, on the left side, the floor, the outside, the nighttime. Teves is Don. Don was the one the most affected by Esav. From all the Shvatim, the one that was the most affected by Amalek and Esav was Don. Rashi says this, the Targum Yonison, rather, quoting the Medrash, says this in Parashas Kiseitze, Vayizanev becha kol hanechesh sholim acharecha. Esav started up with the weak ones, the ones that were spat out of the cloud. Who were they? Don. Throughout Tanakh, we find Don, Pesel Micha, they were the Avodah Zarah. The sinners were always the Donites, unfortunately. They were the lowest of the Shvatim. So they were the ones the most affected by Esav, which is the left side, which is outside. In fact, Misamoil is Begamatria Teves. Teves is on the left. So Chanukah enters the domain of Esav, it enters Teves, and it enters the month of Don, and it elevates even the Donites. Don is from the Bnei HaShvachos. Who was Mekar of the Bnei HaShvachos? Yosef was Mekar of the Bnei HaShvachos. Not the Shvatim, they did not. They pushed them out. They said, they're not part of Klal Yisrael, they're Bnei HaShvachos. But the Pasuk says, V'hu na'ar es b'nei vilav es b'nei zilpa nishay aviv. They are not the maids of his father. They are the wives of his father. Yosef kept on telling that to them. And in fact, in his dreams proved it. Because in his dream, we see that Bilhah is considered Yosef's mother. And that was one of the disputes. Was this Dvarim B'Teilim? Yaakov says, it can't be your mother. You know, your mother's not alive. But really, as Rashi says, it's referring to Bilhah. Bilhah brought him up. Bilhah was like his mother. So Yosef considers Bilhah his mother. Bilhah is Yaakov's wife. She is not a maid. She's a wife. She has the same status as Rachel and Leah. And therefore, the children of Bilhah and Zilpah are just as much Shvatim, just as much the children of Yaakov, as Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, as Yosef and Binyamin. And this was one of the disputes between the Shvatim and Yosef about what's the status of these Jews. What are they? Like today, many argue about certain types of Jews. What are they considered part of Klal Yisrael? They're not considered part of Klal Yisrael. Tonight, because Shenishbu, today everyone's really part of Klal Yisrael. There's no dispute. But you'll still hear occasionally here and there, well, they're not from us, they're not ours, and we don't have to worry about them, we don't have to deal with them. Yosef is Makarev all Yidden. Bnei HaShvachas are on the same level as the rest. They're not Shvachas, Yosef keeps on saying. They're not. Especially Dun, the lowest. Yosef was very much involved with the B'nai Billah, even more than the B'nai Zilpah. Rashi brings at the end of Parshas Vayechi that it was the B'nai Billah that was sent by the Shvatim to go tell Yosef to make peace, because Yosef was very, very close with the B'nai Billah, especially as we know that because Rachel gave Billah to Yaakov, she was zeichet to two children herself. So it comes out that Dan and Naphtali, who were children of Billah, were the cause for Rachel to have Yosef and Binyamin. Dan brings Yosef into the world, and Naphtali brings Binyamin into the world. So you could see that there was a tremendous connection between Yosef and Dan. Not for Dan, there wouldn't be a Yosef. So Yosef therefore has tremendous affection, tremendous love for Dan, for the lowest of the Shvatim, to incorporate him and bring him in. So Yosef is Chanukah. Yosef is the very Yomtiv that we're getting ready for right now. This great Yomtiv of Tahara, this great Yomtiv where there's hope. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Mikveh doesn't only mean a place where one immerses to become pure. Mikveh comes from the word tikva. Yesh tikva la'acharisech. Chanukah is a tremendous tikva, tremendous hope. It brings tremendous hope that despite how dark it is, despite whatever situation we find ourselves in, there's always the ner Chanukah, there's always the nitzatz hayahadus. Rashi brings at the beginning of the parasha that Yaakov is very worried about the Alufei Esav. What's going to be with all the Alufei Esav? So Rashi brings the famous mashlia at the beginning of the parasha. We're not going to go through the whole arichas over here of a pishtani, a person that has a lot of flax on his camels. He doesn't know what's going to be with it. And the blacksmith says, where's all the flax going to go? So there's one wise person over here who says, all you need is one spark and you'll be able to ignite and get rid of all the flax, and then they'll be able to come. There was too much flax, they had to burn. Who is the camel loaded with the flax? So the Midrashim, the Farshim tell us that's Esav. And who's the Nitzutz? The Nitzutz is Yosef. And Rashi brings it at Yosef, when Yaakov had to go back to Eretz Yisrael, he was afraid. But when Yosef was born, he's not afraid anymore, because Yosef is Sitnoi Shel Esav. And he quotes the Pasuk in Ovadia, we read it last week. V'hoya beis Yaakov eish ubeis Yosef lehova, ubeis Esav lakash. A spark comes out from Yosef that destroys and burns all the evil, all the Alufei Esav. According to Beis Shammai, how do we light the menorah? In decrease mode. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Poiches v'hoilich. Beis Shammai sees the Ner Chanukah as the Tahara, the purity that purifies, that gets rid of the evil. V'yas ruach ha'tumah a'avir. As the Pasuk says, that Hashem is going to get rid of all the evil, all the Tumah in the world, burn it away. So Beis Shammai says, therefore, every day is in decrease mode, like the bulls on Sukkot, every day one less, indicating that the evil gets less and less and less. But Beis Hillel says, Moisif v'harlech, which is how we hold, Chanukah Rosh HaTevis, Ches Neiros v'halacha k'Beis Hillel. We go in increase mode, every day higher and higher, and he says, that'll automatically get rid of the darkness. Ma'at min ha'or doicha harbe min ha'choshech ki yadu. A little light gets rid of a lot of darkness. This is also two schools of thought. Do we have to get rid of the darkness first? We have to get rid of the evil first? Sur me'ra comes before Asay Toiv. That was Beis Shammai's opinion. But then there's the opinion of Beis Hillel. It says, no, if you're going to wait till you get rid of the evil, you're never going to do anything. So first do the good. Do a lot of good. And eventually the bad will automatically dissipate. It'll go away. That's the opinion of Beis Hillel, who we paskin like Beis Hillel, that every night we increase or. So Parshas Vayeshev is, on the outset, a tragic parsha, a difficult parsha. It's a sad parsha. Someone who learns it for the first time certainly finds this parsha full of anguish. We all know the outcome, so I guess we don't feel that anguish. But even when you learn it every year, before you learn the next parsha, when you go through the parsha, you really go through it, you live with the parsha, there's a lot of, it's very upsetting. You try to imagine what Yaakov was going through. Try to imagine what Yosef felt like in a pit with snakes and scorpions. Or how did he feel in a dungeon with a bunch of goyim, and he was there for so many years. If you go through the parsha and live the parsha, it's a very, very difficult parsha, a lot of anger. But on the other hand, you see that Yosef, Vayeshev, he was always in a state of peace and tranquility, the betochen that he had. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of betochen. Kislev, as we spoke, Rosh Chodesh, comes from the word V'yosimu ve'elohim kislam, which means betochen. Kislev is the month of betochen. That's the midah to work on in the month of Kislev. Because the whole Yom Tov of Chanukah came because of betochen. There's no way that 13 Maccabees are going to go fight a huge army like that without betochen. It makes no sense. So they had tremendous betochen. And Chanukah teaches us to have betochen, no matter where we are, wherever we find ourselves, have the right betochen. V'yiftuchu v'cha yoydei shemecha. Learn from the chashmoinoyim. Learn from them. It doesn't matter how much. It's not quantity. It's the quality. It's rabim biyad ma'atim, tmeim biyad tahirim, rishoyim biyad tzadikim, despite all odds. It could look like it's impossible. There's just no hope. How is this ever going to happen? And it happens. And it happened. And we see it in our time too. Individuals who displayed tremendous emuna and betochen, and look at the outcome. When someone really lives that way, when someone really is on such a level, eventually he or she will see it. We have to know everything in life is kol ma d'ovid rachamona letav ovid, whether we understand it or not, it's all for the good. And betochen means I have betochen that tomorrow it's going to change. Or today it'll change. I know Hashem could change it. He's a kol yachol. He could do it. He could even do the impossible. And in this parsha is hidden the two Mashiachim, Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. This is where Oyrei Shel Melech HaMashiach is emerging. It's coming out from these stories, from these Yeridos. Both Yosef and Yehuda go down. They go down below 10 Tfachim, Lamata Miyud. They're going down, and each of them in a difficult situation, but yet from those situations emerge Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, and eventually the Yom Tov of Chanukah. From the Choshech comes the Ur. It's interesting that the Gemara in Shabbos, when it talks about the Yom Tov of Chanukah, it mentions, like smack in the middle, like out of nowhere, that doesn't seem to be any connection, that which Rashi brings out in this week's parasha on the Pasuk, the Habor Reik Ein Boi Mayim. That the pit was empty, there was no water in it. So Rashi asks, what are we saying the same thing? If it's empty, you know there's no water in it. It means there's no water in it, but snakes and scorpions were in it. That Gemara is in Shabbos, in the Sugi, where it talks about Chanukah. Rabbi Tancham says, Ner Chanukah l'maylo me'esrim ama pesula. If the Ner Chanukah is higher than 20 amas, it's no good, it's too high. And then the same Rabbi Tancham says, in Parshas Vayeshev, when it says V'habor reik ein boi mayim, mayim ein boi, avol nechoshim v'akrabim yesh boi. What's the connection? Because it's the same author. So that's the Parshas. Many times in Gemara, you find that the Gemara will quote one Amoira or Tana, many different sayings that he said, because everything was memory, they had to memorize. So the Gemara would juxtapose all these passages, even though they had nothing to do with each other. But the Svarim say it's more than that. There is a tremendous connection, especially what we're saying. Yosef is Chanukah. See, Yosef belongs in the sugya of Shabbos, where it talks about Chanukah. And who is Yosef being attacked by? Snakes and scorpions. The Medrash says that the scorpion is Yavon, Akrav Zu Yavon. And it's also known that the Yavonim were compared to snakes. In the famous dream that Daniel has, the golden head, the silver hands, the copper legs, Yerech Yarchesei Dinechash. Dinechash. It looked like a snake, and that's Yavon. So the Yavonim, Nochosh is Rosh Hatevis, Ner Shel Chanukah, because the Ner Shel Chanukah counters the Yavonim. So the Yavonim are compared to snakes and scorpions. So Yosef is Chanukah. So Yosef's in a pit. Who is attacking Yosef? Snakes and scorpions. The thing is that they didn't touch him, because that was the nace. That's why Reuven said we should throw him into the pit. Because if he's chayiv misa, the snakes and the scorpions will get rid of him. If he's not, they won't touch him, because a tzaddik cannot be harmed by an animal, ki yadua, only from a person, not by an animal. And the snakes and the scorpions didn't harm Yosef. They can't, because Yosef is Hanukkah. The snakes and the scorpions, those are the Yevonim. The Yevonim nechnesu leheichol. The Yevonim timu kol hashmanim. But they did not win, because Hanukkah won. Hanukkah emerges from this episode. And here we have the yomtiv of oil. Here we have the yomtiv of Torah Shebaal Peh. Here we have the yomtiv of Taharos. Here we have the yomtiv that every yid has a tikkun. Every yid, there's hope for every single Jew. Every single Jew can experience a high level of tahara. The nekudas hayahadus, the pintala yid, the pach shemen that exists in every single yid is revealed on the yomtiv of Hanukkah. This great yomtiv that is now approaching requires hachana, like anything else requires hachana. Even though the yomtiv came about l'chayr with no hachana at all at that time, but now that we know how great this yomtiv is, we have to be ready for it. We have to prepare for it. This Shabbos readies us for the Yomtiv of Chanukah, because everything in this parasha really is Chanukah related. All about Yosef HaTzadik and how he deals with life and how he finds himself in all the situations like Chanukah, like the Ner Chanukah on the left and below 10 and everything that we've been speaking about. And Yosef emerges from this, the Melech, the Mishnah LaMelech, the Viceroy over Mitzrayim. Yosef emerges, and after he does, everything makes sense. There's clarity. When he comes out of jail, and then eventually when the Shvatim come down, we understand everything. It was all planned. Like everything we're going to understand too. We find ourselves now similar to what Yosef was like after the Sarah Mashkim left the jail. When the Sarah Mashkim left the jail, it was almost clear to everyone. That means Yosef's going to get out any minute now. It's clear. You see, that's why it had to happen. The Sarah Mashkim approaches Yosef in jail. He has a dream. Yosef interprets it. He's getting out. For sure, he's going to remember him. Now you know why the Sarah Mashkim had to be there. We have it all planned out. But it didn't happen. That's not what happened. Yosef is waiting a day, a week, a month, a year. He's still there. So with all the cheshbonos that we made, it just doesn't seem that it's working. What's going to be? The same thing now. In the last few years, we had all our cheshbonos that for sure Mashiach is coming any minute now. It was so clear. We had all the simon. We had it all worked out with the gematrias, and not only that, but every situation we understood with North Korea, with Russia, with this, with that, with Israel, everything from the Six-Day War on, everything. We had all our calculations. Everything seemed perfect, but we're still in Golus. So what does that mean? We should lose hope? Yosef didn't lose hope. Yosef, even though it looked like it's all over because everything passed and nothing happened, he intensified his betochen. He increased in his betochen. And then the day came suddenly. All of a sudden, he's whisked out of the jail. Unexpectedly. He didn't expect. That's it. All of a sudden, he came out. They rushed him. They gave him a haircut for the first time in 12 years. Suddenly, he's standing before Pari. He's interpreting his dreams. Before you know it, he's the Mishnah LaMelech, and he's running the whole country. That's how it's going to happen. As the Sipurno says next week on the Pasuk Vayiritzuhu Min HaBor, that's how the Geula will be. Pisaim, suddenly, unexpectedly, Yavai HaAdain, not when you think, but all of a sudden, it happens. And the way it happened then, that's how it's going to be now too. May we be Zaychetaka, that this Chanukah, Tovshin Ayin Tes, this great Chanukah of this year that we're in now, this year of Shana Me'uberes, this year, Tovshin Ayin Tes, which is the longest year that one could possibly have, because it has 385 days, 385 begematria shechina. This year, the longest year possible, so this Chanukah in the longest year, that's why if you notice, there are 2 days Rosh Chodesh. Not every Chanukah has 2 days Rosh Chodesh, but this year, Kislev and Cheshvan were both 30 days, because it's the longest, that's the most possible of months, Me'ubores, that there are in a year, is this year. So this is a very, very powerful Chanukah, and as mentioned before, it's the brightest Chanukah because we find ourselves in such darkness. May we all be zeichet to utilize, to light up, to ignite. May we all experience yibrachos, refuos, yeshuos, v'shavu banim legvulam, and all that we need, all the hitzdarchias that Klal Yisrael, that all of us individuals and Gans Klal Yisrael need. Everyone needs something. There's no one that has a perfect life. Everyone has some stress and some anxiety in their lives. But Vayeshev, we should try to have peace and tranquility, because V'yiftuchu v'chayyadei shemecha, we know that it's all good, and eventually we'll find out that it's all good, that it'll emerge, it'll be revealed. The more betachon, the more amuna we have, the faster it'll be. Well, we will see that all of these difficult situations that unfortunately we have to go through, not unfortunately, it's all fortunately, it's all the taifa, it's all for good. Everything will be explained, everything will be answered, everything will make sense, just like in this parish, and then we will see the Oirei Shel Melech HaMashiach emerging from all of the tzaras and tragedies of Klal Yisrael from the beginning of time. May we be zeichet to see it immediately, and this Chanukah spend in the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi in Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh.